Hello, all you lovers. We are Real Life Lovers. I'm Diana.
And I'm Murph.
And you're listening to Ménage à Trois, where we discuss your hearts and your parts.
That's right. Each episode, we invite a third party to join us here in the sack. We'll be chatting about relationships, sex, and every goddamn thing in between.
Hey, Murph.
Oh, hey, baby.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm going to tell you what. You look 10 shades of adorable with those headphones wrapped around your head.
Stop it. All right. Who else looks adorable in studio today? We want to welcome Joanna Bradley. Hi, darling.
Hi.
Hey, hey.
You know Joanna from Herald Night at UCB Theater. She's on a team called Namaste. Mod Night, team called Bellevue.
That's right. She also had a one-woman show called Everybody's Dumb and Boring.
And she's appeared on 30 Rock.
And she's appeared on the program 30 Rock.
So you're a star of stage and screen.
I was the star of 30 Rock.
That's right. If you remember that
I was the star.
Yeah. You were Tina Fey's hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. So you're a New York City comedian, writer, and actor.
Comedian, writer, actor.
And a barista.
Former barista.
Barista. Barista. Barista. Uh-huh.
But you do work in coffee shops.
So. I do work in coffee shops. The three of us have talked coffee before, I feel.
We have.
I think I have.
Coffee in the neighborhood, yeah.
I'm a big coffee person.
Yeah.
I'm more of a booze than a caffeine, but...
You and me both, sir.
Yeah, but caffeine has its place.
Oh, yeah.
The next
I
day
like
after
both.
Booze.
I like both, yeah.
It's like when you can't have alcohol and cocaine, you can have alcohol and coffee.
That's absolutely true. And those two do go together. When I drink Irish whiskeys, Irish coffees, rather, when I drink Irish coffee, I feel like my heart feels very warm. Mm. And like it may explode, but it feels in a good way. It's
in
not in
way.
A negative way. It's almost like I'm a little racing, but I'm feeling drunk. It's a great feeling.
Those uppers and downers mixing together.
Mm. Yeah.
So we asked Joanna what she wanted to drink in studio today so we could wine and dine her and get her loose. And she said, whatever you're having.
Yes, very accommodating. She is a true party person. She's like, you know what? Whatever's going on, I'm into it.
So she's having water. She has a sore throat. And Murph and I are drinking vodka
crayons with a little lime.
I hope you don't mind, Joanna. We're drinking for you, girl.
It's making me jealous, but I'm also proud of myself for my restraint.
Yeah, me too. If you start have a little hint of something going on and you just drink a lot, it could double down.
But I wanted to give you something classy. I was like, we got to get her like a chocolate martini or something.
What spells class like chocolate martini?
I mean, I'm talking about like Midwest small town class.
I got
that's all. We can afford class. Here at Ménage à Trois.
I gotcha.
So you're a comedian.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you get a lot of action from being a comedian?
Do you mean sexual action?
Yes. Like, do people throw their panties on stage when you're doing your one woman show?
Oh gosh. The closest I ever came to that was there was an 11-year-old boy in the front row of one of my shows, and there's a moment in the show when I take my clothes off and I'm in my underwear, mm-hmm. and I'm talking on my telephone. On my cell phone.
On my telephone.
And after the show, my girlfriend was sitting like next to him and his family just by chance. She didn't know them. And after the show, the little boy said to his mom, my favorite part was when she was talking on the telephone. And my girlfriend was like, yeah, you and me both, kid.
He probably just likes phones.
Yeah.
He's into the cellular device. Yeah.
He was like, I like the way she hooked it sort of in her neck. It was very, it was hands-free. It was cool. That's the closest I've come. I think probably as we all experienced, just our natural funniness has probably gotten us pretty far.
Right.
Yeah.
It's part of the charm.
I think even, yeah, off stage in the real lives. Yeah, I think that it's a tool that helps mm-hmm. People get laid. But yeah, I think, I mean, the one woman show thing though is just you're up there doing your own thing very confidently, owning the stage.
Yeah, you took that out to LA too, right?
I did.
No action in LA? Any 10-year-olds?
No 9-year-olds, no 10-year-olds. No, I mean, when when you're in a relationship, mm-hmm. you don't go out there searching for strange the way that you used to when you were single.
Right.
Searching for strange.
Yeah, you put the deadbolt on the hotel door. And
that's right. You really lock it up. You put the deadbolt on your panties and your hotel door.
Your chastity bolts.
I think I assume that... I will say this, actually. My girlfriend now, who I've been with for about 2 years, I think like 2 years
congrats.
This weekend, actually. It was Memorial Day weekend.
Sweet.
And it was after I spanked my one-person show,
mm-hmm.
and she was there, and we slept together like 2 days later. So
a little to do. I think it definitely did.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to pull this heat.
We're going to bring the heat right into this segment.
We call Sexy Science.
So we ripped some stuff from the headlines.
Ripped from the headlines. We mingle science and sex and all those good things.
And this article comes to us, we ripped from Forbes.com. And the title of the article is Sex Reassignment Surgery a Basic Human Right? So the idea, what sparked this was this gentleman who murdered his wife and was partially going through sex reassignment. So he'd been taking hormones.
He was like halfway through and then he gets put in jail.
Still had all the parts.
Right.
But then goes to jail for the murder of his wife.
And is so depressed having, you know, gotten stopped halfway through that he tries to castrate himself, tries to kill himself. So they actually ended up ruling in September in Massachusetts that it was a right and the taxpayers had to pay for him to be able to finish
the sex reassignment. So the idea is, you know, if someone kills someone, goes to jail and has a heart attack, they get medical attention.
Mm-hmm.
So
or if you're pregnant and you're in jail, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So they kind of got into the idea of is it a basic human right that you should be able to be the gender that you are regardless of, you know, whether you're incarcerated or whether you're out on the streets?
Yeah.
It's a loaded question. It's a big one.
It's a biggie.
We sprung a big one on you. This article doesn't quite take a stance one way or the other, I don't think, really. It just kind of says the psychology behind it and seeing...
What publication is this article from?
Forbes.
Oh, Forbes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're just laying it out.
Section.
They're just laying it out.
Yeah. It's the idea is like most people feel comfortable saying everyone should do what they want. Not everybody, but most people, I think. Mm. But then when you put in we're paying for it through taxpayer dollars and maybe this guy is kind of a scumbag and killed his wife, then it like gets to a point where maybe you're like, well, we don't really care if you're uncomfortable in prison.
Right.
You know?
It gets way more complicated. I mean, as soon as you bring money, I mean, that's why everyone is, as you just said, everyone's like really happy to be like, I'm for all freedoms. But when people start talking about how it costs money to like ensure certain freedoms, I mean, I think this is totally intertwined with stuff like the healthcare debate and just like taxing the shit out of rich people. I mean, which is something I'm super for. and not even just rich people. They just think like, tax the hell out of upper middle class to wealthy people, and I think it's also a question of like readjusting our understanding of what are necessities,
right?
And we're not yet at the point where like trans people are accepted as completely as gay people are, you know?
Yeah,
definitely. No, that's still, I think,
it's still. You know,
what's weird for me is like I want to just have a strong stance on it, but I think for me it is a spectrum because if this guy was selling weed and in jail for that, I would want him to get whatever he needed.
Right.
But if he was like a mass murderer, you know what I mean? It's like there's almost like there is a spectrum for me where I'm like I don't really care about certain people being like comfortable or happy, which maybe sounds really awful, but it depends on like the crime.
Yeah.
Which I don't think that's really the question at hand. You kind of have to go black and white on this.
Right. Because I think if you're in prison, I mean, you're there. So it's just the idea of can prisoners, is it just that this is a medical condition? This is something that, because I think psychologists too, for doctors, I mean, people have gotten the surgery in the black market as well. But I think mostly for doctors to do this surgery, there is a psych evaluation that goes into it that's very intense just because people don't want to do this and then have people change their mind or... So there's just a lot to it in that.
I definitely agree that this is a thing, though. Like being a man trapped in a woman's body.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So I'm all for that. I would say it's a human right to pursue...
To be able to do that, right.
Becoming physically, manifesting yourself the way you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it gets a little tricky when you're going around killing people and then wanting everyone else to pay for your sex reassignment surgery.
Yeah, but you have to... Like, once you make the decision to say that it's a basic human right, you have to treat it like a heart attack. And so if there's a child molester who has a heart attack, you have to save his life.
Right.
And every, like, that's just part of, I mean, that's
no,
the
I totally
Hippocratic
agree.
Oath. So it's like this, if this dude gets rolled into the operating room and everybody in there knows he's a murderer, they still have to treat him like he's fucking Mother Teresa.
Right. Well, and I think that's where, like, I would separate my political self from my personal self.
Exactly.
Like, I completely agree with that. Like, if I had to vote on this, I would vote that Of course he should.
He should, yeah.
Yeah.
He should follow through.
Oh, yeah.
But I just mean, like, my personal self, I'm like, I don't want to help these molesters.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just kind of, like, there is a spectrum.
Oh, absolutely. And that's which is exactly why, like, everything should be set up in a way that, like, regular people, like, us aren't deciding these things. And it's more like legislators.
Legislation, yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good. Also, Mother Teresa was a tranny, so I think that's
she was trans. Yeah.
So you bring her up,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, that was widely known.
The most famous tranny, maybe.
She's the kindest.
And the nicest.
I would definitely pay to get her a dick.
Yeah, if she needs a dick. Get
whatever
her a dick.
She needs, whatever size.
Whatever,
she
so, yeah, like she
now
picks
she needs
it off
to
the
be
wall.
Exhumed.
Like,
whatever.
She needs to go 12
Father
plus.
Father Teresa, whatever.
Father.
Whatever she wants.
Well, let's not just help the masses. Let's help some individuals here. In our next segment, we call Listener Love.
Listen, a mailbag.
Yeah, we have people reaching out to us all the time asking for advice. And they have questions that are based on some relationships they've had or sexual encounters they've had. And we like to try to help people as much as we can here.
True that.
Truth. This question, our first question was emailed to us at our email, which is menageatrois.radio@gmail.com, from Sydney in Connecticut. I am writing my fourth novel.
Mm-hmm.
The central character started out loosely based on my husband. He's now a carbon copy, complete with specific details from our lives. And the character is deeply flawed. I think it's my best work. What should I do?
Ooh, rough.
What's the problem?
My understanding of this question is basically that, like, she has this great book she's written based on her husband, but it's not flattering. And it's kind of like the issue is, like, publish the book and maybe deal with the downfall of your marriage or hide it forever. But, I mean, if he's so deeply flawed...
Why are you with him in the first place?
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There, that's where Joe's getting
there's
at.
Where, that's, I mean.
Yeah. Maybe this could be an opportunity for you to address some of the shit that you felt like you couldn't until you had to. It was festering so much that you put it into a fictional work. Maybe now it's time to bring those things to the table.
Mm.
Honestly, I just think art is like the number one priority. If you wrote an amazing novel, get it out there and just, you know, wait for the chips to fall as they may.
Yeah.
That's I'm inclined to say yes to that too, but I also realize that we're all like three young people being like, whatever, man, just make your art and then like whatever happens will happen and you'll find him. We break up, we stay together.
Get a new husband.
Yeah, this could be
get a new one.
This could be someone, yeah, who's married for a long time and is older. I don't know. Yeah. But I still think that's sound advice. I think, one, your work is important to you, and two, you wouldn't have written those words down. You tapped into something that that was clearly in your mind.
Issue.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would say publish the book. I mean, if you want to sit down with him and have him read it first.
Yeah, maybe first, or even before reading, maybe first, like, highlighting the things in the book that you're like, okay, these are the big issues. These are the deep flaws that I'm talking about in the character. And sit down with him and be like, hey, honey, I got to talk to you about this shit.
Right. I wonder if it's like choose loudly or like doesn't respect me. You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
I wonder
yeah.
like the,
deeply
like,
flawed that, yeah. that turn of phrase to me says
there's some
the latter.
Right. Yeah. No
yeah.
respect or something. Yeah. All right. Well, Sydney, get
Publish
the novel
that
published.
Book. All right. Our next question comes from an anonymous party. This woman or man wishes to remain anonymous. They ask, I got creative masturbating in the shower last week and ended up involving the shower head. It felt amazing. Can I keep romancing my shower? Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that come from, yeah. I guess the old shower head is more of a ladies' jam, yeah? Or no?
I mean, as a lady, I enjoy a good shower head.
Right.
But
if you had enough pressure, could that affect your penis? I don't know.
I guess.
You ever shoot your dick with water?
One time, actually, no. Well, yeah. One of my first public masturbation incidents was...
One of the many.
One of the many was when I was very young. My parents had an above-ground pool. And yeah, so
oh,
actually,
yeah.
Yeah, I guess. So and I would lean over the side of the pool, and the jets that would come out in the pool from the filter.
Don't get me started on jets.
Put my little pecker right on there. And
would you put it in the hole or just on the jet?
Just on the pressure. And I don't know that I actually came ever, maybe. I don't know. I can't remember.
It was like foreplay.
It was a lot of foreplay.
Once you get in the hot tub.
Before you were the age of coming? There's a pre-coming age.
Yeah, there's a pre-coming age where it feels great and you're aroused, but you can't quite get to that point.
Sounds terrible.
Oh,
wait, so what is that, like 0 to 8? 8 is pre-cum?
That's like 0 to 8, yeah.
Or 0 to 10? I mean, there's so many hormones in the food now. I feel like kids
are coming earlier.
Don't get me started
earlier
on the hormones.
But so, yeah, so I get
it. Crime.
Yeah.
It's a crime.
It is a crime. It is a crime. Passion. I mean, honestly, fuck the shower, but don't marry it.
No.
Yeah.
All right, one more of these guys.
This one is also emailed to us, menage@radio@gmail.com. My girlfriend and I want to spring on a great opportunity to move into an awesome apartment with another couple. The apartment is huge and we love the other two people. The catch is that their relationship is rocky at times. Is this a terrible idea? Well, I mean, just for signing a lease, for lease purposes, right out of the gates, I think it might be, if they could break up and then one of them would leave, both of them could leave. So I think signing a lease with people like that, that are, might not be in it for
I'm inclined to say who cares.
Go for it.
Go for it.
Yeah. I mean, is that too crass? I just mean, obviously you want what's best for your friends, but like if their relationship is rocky, it may not affect you. I guess they're saying this in close quarters, it would affect you.
Oh, so yeah. That's so if their negative relationship is around your positive relationship, that
like,
could
be. Like, are you moving
an
into
issue.
A war zone, or is this just like everything
or is it just
has
like
to be perfect?
Little snips here and there.
Just snips. I mean, snips are normal.
Snips are normal.
Everybody
I just took out
snips.
The trash yesterday.
Snip. Yeah. So I guess if it's just snips, then that's fine. That's to be expected. But yeah,
the lease thing is a concern, though. As you just said.
I think that leaves. Yeah, that leaves you to foot the bill, I guess.
Would you and your lady ever move in with another couple?
We don't live together yet, but if we did, I'm sure if it were the right couple.
Hey.
Yeah.
I was pointing to
the answer,
Murph and Diana.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, I think in New York, you just got to live wherever you can.
Yeah, if it's a good place.
If it's a great place, then gosh, it's hard to walk away from that.
Yeah, I feel like I'd move in with a Nazi if he had a skylight.
Yes, so...
That's a great quote.
Thanks.
Yeah. So, yeah, if there's a skylight, fuck it. Move in.
Skylight, move in. Oh, my bell didn't work. There we go.
There we are.
Love that bell.
So now
we're going to speed things up.
We're moving on to some questions. We got questions from our listeners that just came in, and now we have questions for our guest, Joanna Bradley.
You're going to have to pick up the pace.
Okay.
Sore throat over there.
Can do.
All right. These are six sections, six rapid-fire questions. We're going to fire at you, and you're going to answer as quickly as you can.
Bing, bang, boom.
Would you rather have 10,000 sexual partners or one life partner?
One life partner.
What's the sexiest animal, Joanna Bradley?
Lion?
Who is your number one celebrity crush?
Marissa Tomei.
Damn. What's the best song to have sex to?
Wicked Games?
All right.
Hot tub, backseat, or bed?
Oh, backseat.
Mm.
What is the single most important characteristic you look for in a partner?
Empathy.
Nice. That has been six sections with Joanna Bradley.
Excellent.
I love Lion.
Oh, Lion was so great.
Isn't that what everyone says?
No.
People
unfortunately
say the weirdest stuff.
People try and be funny. They're like, groundhog.
Right. Nobody's fucking a groundhog.
Come on, shut the fuck up.
Groundhogs don't even fuck groundhogs. I think they...
They're all
petri dish
babies.
Dish, yeah.
Yeah, and Wicked Games is good too.
I don't know why.
No.
Why? Yeah.
I like it.
What are you gonna do?
I like it.
I just like that break he does in his voice.
It shows vulnerability.
It sure does, Chris Isaac.
Yeah. You're like, throw me across the room and then cry.
Is that what Murph does?
That's an evening at our home.
That's a Tuesday night.
So now we'll slide into a segment that we enjoy very much. We like to highlight power couples, and we get into our PC spotlight. You know him. You all know him. He's a green frog, and he's just, you know, it ain't easy being green. It ain't easy being Kermit.
You know her. She's pink, she's a diva, and she loves to shop. We're talking about
Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy.
Speaking of lions, no, this is obviously a fictional animal couple, but I think it brings up some interesting, hard-hitting
truths.
These
puppets can't actually have sex, but a power couple, the dynamic here that is fascinating is the obsession that Miss Piggy has with Kermit.
Mm-hmm.
And Kermit seems to not be into her at all.
It's kind of like the friend zone thing. We've discussed that before.
Yeah. It's a little bit friend zone.
He's just not down.
He's just not down, but do she doesn't think, care.
Do you think he's not down, or do you think he plays the... It reminds me of that, remember that sketch with Adam Sandler and Chris Farley, where Adam Sandler was the husband and mm-hmm. Chris Farley was the wife reading from Zagat?
Yep. Ravioli? Yeah. Holy cannoli.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that dynamic where the guy, the husband is playing that sort of like, I can't, what is wrong with this woman? But then he's in love with her.
Right, yeah. Because her obsession allows him to play the like kind of one step removed.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Cool nerd.
I also think that if Miss Piggy seems like a very strong individual, so I think if she weren't, sometimes when a relationship starts after you've been obsessing over someone, the playing field is not even.
Mm.
So it's hard once someone finally says, okay, then it's almost like you've been, yeah, I think it puts
the
power
upper hand,
structure. But
yeah.
Knowing Kermit's personality and knowing Piggy's personality, I don't think that would be a problem.
Well, she can afford herself this like pitiful platform because mm-hmm. in every other way she's just a total badass.
Right.
That's a great, it's almost like the part of her life where she's vulnerable and needy, and the rest of her life she's like a ball busting career woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other issue it brings up is cross species fucking.
That's the first thing I'm thinking about. I'm like,
what
even
do those
if they
babies
weren't
look like?
Puppets. They can't make babies.
Biologically, they
can't.
No.
They're amphibian pork creatures.
Which is cool, though, because it kind of it takes the biology thing out of animal fucking and just makes it pleasure fucking.
Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, for pleasure only.
Oh, yeah. They're not
they're all about sex.
For gippers.
Yeah. So, yeah, non-reproductive sex is great. It's great sex.
It's good.
Yeah, so I guess that, I mean, they might have some issues, but
no, but
socially,
we've all seen those couples,
cares?
Like a skinny dweeby guy and just like a big, beautiful woman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That I feel like that's
so Miss Piggy's a BBW and Kermit the Frog is kind of
nebbish.
Is there a word? There's got to be a word for that. He's like a Weezer boy.
He's like a Weezer. A Weezer boy
a
and
Weezer
a BBW
boy.
Like from that band, Weezers.
Rivers Cuomo. Riding a large pig
Rivers, he's a Rivers Cuomo.
Yeah.
Well, that now.
So yeah, if this were humans, would this be Rivers Cuomo and like Jessica Simpson, 12 months pregnant?
That's no. That's unfortunate.
I was just doing visually.
I love it, but yeah, no. I think Miss Piggy's more. Miss Piggy's more like.
Rumor Wilson. What is her name?
Rumor Willis.
Rumor Willis.
Rumor Willis.
No?
Interesting.
I mean, she's awesome. She's badass.
She's not
fucking...
big, though.
Wait, am I thinking of a different person?
Or is she big?
Oh, you're talking Wilson.
Rumor
you're...
Wilson.
No, but not Rumor.
Wait, her name's
oh,
Rebel.
Oh, you're talking about
Rebel Wilson.
Okay.
Oh, you were talking about Bruce Willis's kid.
Their child.
Never.
I think it's like Pee Wee Herman and Rebel Wilson.
Pee Wee Herman and Rebel Wilson. Yeah,
like
they could
Paul
fuck.
Rubens and
yes,
or the
exactly.
character
in character, he's got to be wearing the bow tie.
Okay.
Yeah,
Pee Wee Herman and Rebel Wilson. Okay.
Yeah, because wasn't there's a woman in the Pee Wee Herman show who's always chasing him around?
Oh, Miss.
It's kind of that dynamic.
Yeah, but she's also not. She's not big. She's voluptuous.
Buxom.
Yeah,
buxom.
Oh man. Well, that's sad. I can't remember her name, but she's great. Miss something.
Everybody out there, look it up
online. Look it up. Google it.
Yeah, get back to us.
All right. So I think the power here is that she is allowing herself to be vulnerable in one part of her life, and she doesn't care if he's a different species.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to stroll on into our next segment here, which we like to call Virtual Sugar. This is where we're going to take our guest, Joanna Bradley, on a improvised date. This is, we've pulled a real OkCupid profile from the net
mm-hmm.
that we think would match up with you. Now, we know you're involved, but we're just assuming for this segment that you're single. And so...
I'm trying to take you on your perfect date.
Yeah, this is like a date. We feel like we've got it figured out for you.
Well, it better be perfect.
The bar has been set.
Oh, no.
So we're going to take you on a perfect date.
I'll be playing your date. My moniker online is French Dis.
French Dis?
And you will be going on a date to Cafe Peddler, which is a coffee shop. In
I know.
You know
Cafe Peddler, or as I like to call it, Cafe Peddlar.
Peddlar.
I've said Peddlar a few times.
Or Peedler.
Peedler.
Which sounds a little, yeah, that's not, that, Peddlar is better. All right, so.
Date starts now. Hi, Joanna.
Oh, yeah, hi. Are you French?
French Dis. Yeah, it's actually Melly.
Oh, it's just your handle.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of a Francophile, and I thought it was a cute play on French Kiss. I don't know.
No, it's really funny. I spent a year in France, actually. I love the movie French Kiss.
Wow. Where did you go in France?
Paris.
Oh, cool. I've heard of that.
Yeah.
What?
I've actually never left the country, but I just, like, love French toast, and, like, I love the colors blue, red, and white.
Like on the flag?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just, like, obsessed with France.
Yeah, clearly. Do you want to get a table or a bunch of drinks real quick?
Sure. Do you mind getting mine? I forgot to bring my purse.
That's totally fine.
Really embarrassed. Next one's on me.
Excuse me, you just bumped into my 3-wide stroller here and you woke up the triplets.
Brooklyn.
I'm never having kids. That's why I had my tubes tied when I was 15.
When you were 15?
Yeah. Get out of here, lady.
Sorry.
Well, okay. I'm sorry that I had children and loved life.
Me too.
All right.
Okay.
I hate children.
I don't hate them. The entitlement in this fucking neighborhood is killing me.
I love France. Look at that little shit. I hate kids.
I mean, that's pretty close to how I feel.
Wow, we have so much in common. Okay, so while you're up there, I'd like a soy iced vanilla latte with a half add shot red eye espresso and a blueberry muffin.
Soy iced vanilla latte with a half add shot red eye espresso and a blueberry muffin?
Oh my God, no one ever remembers it.
I work in coffee, so I'm pretty good at it.
Oh God, yeah. I'm like taking you to work on a date.
Kind of, because I'm paying... Oh, so I'll just go.
Hello, welcome to Cafe Pedlar.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Pretty okay.
Did you say Pedlar? That's weird.
Oh, that's how I say it. Is that?
Oh, I say Pedlar.
Well, that's not correct.
Isn't that weirder?
It's a little weirder.
Yeah.
I mean, the establishment is what it is.
Well, okay.
Cafe Pedlar.
What do you think, man? Can I get one soy iced vanilla latte with a half-calf red-eye ad shot, and then I'm just going to have a 12-ounce drip.
Don't forget my blueberry muffin.
Oh, sorry. Shit. Can I get a blueberry muffin, too, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Sorry. Are you going to start making this stuff, or are you just...
I just had an episode. I started sweating profusely.
Yeah, you're sure it's off.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, I'm back. I couldn't get that table. That cunt with the 15 kids took it.
Oh, my God.
I feel like... I hate that... Whoa, this guy's freaking out. I hate that woman, too, but, like, definitely say cunt quieter, because everyone
cunt,
is
cunt,
looking...
Cunt, cunt, cunt!
Oh, my...
Ma'am, okay. Please.
I don't think you do.
Ma'am, please.
Wait, what's wrong with this guy?
This guy is freaking out. Look at his body. He's soaked with sweat, and he's bare-chested.
Sir, do you have any kids?
I just sweat on the muffins.
No, I really don't think you want that blueberry muffin, Millie.
Here's your blue muffin.
Ew.
Blue muffin?
Here's your drip.
What is this? Does this have a nipple on it?
I call it blueberry.
Please call an ambulance.
I didn't bring my phone because it was in my purse. Can you call an ambulance?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. Hold on.
What the hell was the other thing you ordered?
Don't worry about it. We're fine. I'm going to get you some help, okay?
I need this job.
Hi, can I get an ambulance at Court Street and Sackett?
Sure.
Or is it DeGraw? I don't know where we are.
Warren?
Oh, thanks.
GPS.
We tracked your phone. We're coming in the ambulance.
Are they coming, JoJo?
Yeah, I don't feel like I know you well enough
to call you.
Oh, look, hi. Yeah, I'm gonna wait for the ambulance, and then I think we're gonna call it a night because I just don't know if this is gonna be a thing.
No one ever carries through with the whole deal.
Why do you have a razor blade in your hand?
When I'm bad, I just do little inner knee cuts.
No.
Let me get that razor blade. I need to open up an air passageway.
Guys, I'm gonna go to 16 Handles. Just hit up some fro-fro.
Joanna, would you go on a second date with French Dis?
Definitely not. No. I hate her. she was so selfish.
Yeah, she was kind of a cunt.
Cunt.
Oh, shouting cunt in public.
Do you think that man died?
That man's no longer with
Pedlar?
Us. Pedlar? Yeah, he's gone.
Pedlar.
Well, this is a sad part, not just because that man died, but we have to say goodbye to our lovely Joanna Bradley.
I hate saying goodbye to you guys, but I know I'll see you soon around the way.
We'll be in the hood around the way. We want to...
Smoke that cigarette because we're kicking you out of the sack, girl.
Smoke this last cigarette.
Don't really smoke. You have a sore throat.
Please check out Joanna at the UCB Theater in Chelsea, Manhattan.
Herald Night is Tuesday. Maud Night is Monday.
That's right.
You can see her on reruns of 30 Rock.
Check out those. She's the star of 30 Rock.
On every episode.
If you've never heard of the show, look it up.
She's also building a website.
Oh, God. I hate you.
And like everyone you've ever met, yes. Joanna is building a website.
I'm working on it.
And when it gets there, it's going to be spectacular. I have no doubt. Please tweet at us with your questions, comments, otherwise, at Menage Radio.
At Diana Mulcahy.
And at Murph Meyer.
We want to thank our succulent producer, Taylor Moore.
Thank you, Taylor.
Taylor's the tops. Also, get on the webs. Check us out, www.menageatoisradio.com.
Email us at menageatoisradio@gmail.com.
And just listen, share, tell people about us. Feel good about it. Because we feel great.
Share the love.
Spread the seed.
Make the gush in the pee pee pee.
Ooh, in the pee pee pee.
Add some foam to that latte.
Scoop it on super dry.
Pay your taxes so I can get my dick.
You're a rich guy. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Joanna. We love you.
Sensual jams provided by French Horn Rebellion. Hear more at FrenchHornRebellion.com.